This morning we want to continue our study in the book of Joshua. And this morning I'm going to be taking a look, we looked last week at how God was preparing Joshua throughout his life for the commission that God was placing upon him to take the place of Moses. No small task. And we looked at basically 13 things that Joshua was prepared with by the Lord for that calling. And there are 13 things that each one of us should realize and acknowledge in our lives, because guess what? God has placed a calling on your heart and your life just as He did Joshua. And just as He did Moses. Now, I don't think anyone here has been called to lead the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt into the promised land. But God has called you from darkness to light and given each one of us the same commission to bring glory to His name, to honor His name, and above all, to be faithful to His name and to do what He places before us to do. As we begin to look at the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua wouldn't be written if Moses had continued to live. But guess what? We even heard Moses say it in his own psalm. Man is faced with one thing that each of us has in common, or actually two. Each one of us was born, and each one of us will die. And the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment, and we know that we do not have to fear death because of what Jesus has done for us. And that He gained victory over death, and He gained victory over sin, so that we do not have to fear death because, as Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and we know that as a believer in Christ, the moment we die, our soul and our spirit are in God's presence. And we also know, according to the Word, that there's coming a day, and that day appears to be ever closer. And as I mentioned before, we used to go to the prophecy conference up in Winnipeg, and there was one of the speakers, and he would every year say, "You know, the Lord could rapture the church before I get done speaking today." And he was absolutely right. Because we knew no man here, nobody sitting here knows the day or the hour when the rapture will occur. But Jesus did tell us signs. We looked at those as we went through Matthew 24, as we went through the book of Revelation, as we went through the book of Daniel, and we see the signs are all around. And the signs are growing stronger and stronger every day, and the rapture could occur at any moment. And the question is, are we prepared? I want you to know, as we look at the life of Joshua, and as this morning we're looking at the life of Moses as he transfers the torch to Joshua, when God called Moses to lead Israel out of the promised land, He didn't tell him all the things that were going to happen. He didn't tell him that he was leading a stiff-necked, hard-hearted, rebellious people. He didn't tell them how they get that God would show them all these marvelous miracles, all this deliverance, would give to them precursors of the coming Messiah with the blood of the Lamb that they placed on the doorpost and the lintel and doorposts of their house, so that the death angel would pass over. And that just as Jesus was going to deliver us from the control of Satan, they were going to be delivered really as a people out from under the control of the world system as it was at that time in Egypt by the power of God. But God didn't tell Moses when he started the journey, "They're going to rebel against you and fight against you the whole way. And you're going to have all kinds of difficulties. But I want you to know something. What he did tell Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be with you." And he was with Moses when Moses was before Pharaoh. He was with Moses at the Red Sea. And when they got into the desert, he was with Moses as a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night for his evidence to be known. And when Moses constructed the tabernacle in the desert, the Shekinah glory of the Lord would appear and meet Moses in the tabernacle. He was with Moses. He's told us he's with us. Now I want you to understand, the same God that was with Moses is the same God that's with us. This God that is more powerful than any world system, any world leader. This God who is more powerful than Satan and all the demons of hell because he created them. And they chose to rebel against him. But the day came where the Lord said, I'm going to be with you on one last journey, Moses. You're going to cross over to meet me. If you would turn with me to Numbers chapter 34. Numbers chapter 34. And it tells about the death of Moses, and then we're going to go back to Numbers 31 and look at Moses' last words. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab onto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. And all Naphtali and all of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. In the south, and the plain, and the valley of Jericho, and the city of the palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over hither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Now if you would turn back with me, Deuteronomy 31. And in Deuteronomy 31, I'd like to read Moses' command. He knows that he's going to die. God has revealed that to him. He also knows he's not going to go with Israel into the promised land. We just read he didn't get to do it. He got to see it, but he never got to experience it. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. And he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and Og, the gods of the Amorites, and unto the land of them who he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doeth, that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, may we hear the words of Moses as he gives the charge to Joshua. Lord, I pray that you would also help us to understand that same charge, the content of it, has been given to every one of your followers, that we are to be of courage and not fearful. Lord, help us as we look at your word this morning to understand the principles from this word that we are to apply to our lives in the day in which we live. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want you to imagine what it was like as Moses came out before the whole nation of Israel that day. As hard-hearted and stiff-necked a people as they were, who would they look to constantly to deliver them out of all their crisis? The sad thing is, oftentimes they looked to Moses instead of God. And that was part of their problem as a people. But now the Lord is telling Moses, Moses, it's time to come home. The work I had for you is done. And Moses is standing before his people, all the people of Israel, and I want you to look at the words that he says. He says the same words to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. It's interesting. If you can imagine Joshua standing there, the scripture tells us that Joshua was the minister of Moses. That doesn't mean he sat up and preached to Moses. That's not what it means by minister. It means that Joshua was the servant of Moses. That's what the term minister really means. Anybody who takes it out of context and says that minister means that you can lord something over people, that is not the context or meaning of the word. The word means that you are the humble servant of those that have been placed before you. Joshua was the servant of Moses. Joshua had gotten to see things that nobody else in the camp of Israel had seen. You remember when last week we saw that as Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the law from the Lord and to come before the Lord, the 70 elders went up with him part way and ate before the Lord. But that's all the further they were able to go was part way. Joshua went up further. He didn't go all the way, but he went up further. He got to see more. He got to be there and witness when Moses began to come down and descend from meeting with the Lord. He was the first to see the glory that just glowed off of Moses' face because he'd come from being in the presence of God. Joshua was the one that, like Moses, heard, as we saw last week, war in the camp. A spiritual war. Joshua had gotten to go into the tabernacle with Moses and see the Shekinah glory of God that no priest even got to do. But Moses had always been there. And now Moses is leaving. And the words that he tells not only Joshua, but all Israel, is be strong and of a good courage. Where are they to draw their strength and courage from? That's a question that people in our age need to be asking. The last 2 years have been very trying. For the first time in the history of our nation, has the whole nation experienced really persecution against Christians. American Christians do not understand what it is to experience persecution. We do not understand what it is to have the enemy attack us in the way that he does in other nations. But it could be coming. And are you prepared? The task that lay ahead, that Joshua had been commissioned to do, and that Moses could no longer do because of Moses' sin, where he smote the rock in anger at the nation of Israel, and God never told him to smite it in that case. And because of that, Moses was not going to be allowed to go into the promised land. And as he's commissioning Joshua, these people know it's not going to be an easy task. Remember, Joshua and Caleb are the only two left of their generation that are going to go into the land with them, because they're the only two spies out of 2 out of 12 that said, the Lord will go before us, the Lord will give us the victory, we don't have to fear the giants of the land, and it's just as God said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything He promised is there for us. The other 10 said no. Don't go. The ones that are standing before Moses aren't those that agreed with the 10. They're all dead. It's their children and their grandchildren. I want you to stop and think. What heritage are you going to leave for your children and grandchildren? As they're facing going into this land, they're aware it's not going to be an easy task. There are very wicked people in this land. I want you to understand, sin and wickedness isn't something that's just for our day. The wickedness that we're seeing in the world around us, the disregard for human life, we have seen more people dying for no reason, other than the selfishness, greed, and really wickedness of Satan and his putting these wicked things on men, as we have in the last couple of years. Freedoms being destroyed, and the church being attacked. It wasn't any different back then. They were facing a people in this land who had no regard for life, who had no regard for God, who had no regard for anybody but themselves. They were totally self-centered, selfish, and wicked. And that's who they're facing. Now I want us to look at the word, these three words. Six. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Where is your strength and where is your courage coming from? Where did Moses get his strength and his courage? Because he's been the living example of strength and courage for the whole nation of Israel, and specifically for Joshua, as Joshua was by his side through most of the desert. It's from God. Next week, we're going to be looking at the first chapter of Joshua. You're going to see these words again. And this time, they're going to come from the Lord Himself. But as Moses is facing these people for the last time, I want to ask you, what words would you share if you could gather all those that you cared about before you went to be with the Lord? What words would you share? It's interesting. Moses laid out a challenge for them. A challenge to be courageous and bold in the Lord and not be filled with fear. Jesus Himself said to us that when we come to Him, we don't have to fear. He destroyed all the elements that should cause us fear. What causes people to fear? Have you ever stopped to think? One of the main causes is they have a fear of dying. If you ever talk to people, nobody wants to really talk about death that much. They have a fear of dying. How did Jesus take that fear from us? Because He conquered death. He came, He went to the cross, took our sins upon Himself, was buried, but rose again from the dead, giving victory over death. He is the author and giver of what? Life. And it's interesting. The Scriptures tell us that He's coming again, the second time, and we looked at that in the book of Revelation. The rapture occurs when we go to meet Him, and then we return with Him at the end of the tribulation a second time, and He comes to judge the living and the dead. Now, why does He use those terms, the living and the dead? Have you ever stopped to think, as we walk out these doors, you are going to face, literally, a city that's got more dead people in it than alive people, living people. Who are those that are living? The ones that are living are those that are found in Jesus Christ. The ones that have been given a new heart, a new life, a new mind. Their sins forgiven. They are new character. The Spirit of God resides in them and they walk in the newness of life. But those who have not received Jesus walk in death. Or they may be breathing. They may be walking. They can talk. They can laugh. But they're dead. And Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. The living, we shall be rewarded at the Bema seat of Christ. As we have walked in courage and boldness according to His will and calling, but the dead shall be judged according to their works and the rebellion against God. As Moses is facing the nation of Israel, you know he was facing the same type of people? Those that believed and those that didn't believe. You stop and say, how could they not believe? They'd seen miracle after miracle. Some of them were just little kids. Some of them were actually born during the 40 years in the desert, but they'd seen miracles. They'd seen God supernaturally provide food for them, supernaturally provide water for them, supernaturally defeat their enemies, supernaturally do all of these things, and now bring them right to the precipice of crossing over into the promised land that He'd promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hundreds of years before. And now they were living it, and yet there were still those that didn't believe. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Did you know that there are people that sit in churches every Sunday that don't believe? Believe in the power of God to transform their life. They don't believe that God gives us His Holy Spirit to walk in the power of His Spirit to be able to accomplish His purposes. They don't believe in the forgiveness of sins. And they don't believe that God is who God says He is. Instead, they'd rather trust in men. Now, one of the sad things that I see happening in our nation today, There's a very strong movement that's calling We Reawaken America. But I don't see anything calling people to repent. I don't see speakers standing up and talking about, where's your faith in Christ? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? Because nothing can happen until that happens. And you know what they're putting their faith and trust in is men. I actually heard one of the guys speaking at one of these rallies. And here this guy speaking, he says, if you're going to wait and hope that somebody from up there is going to come down and deliver you out of the air, you're hoping for nothing. You need to have hope in yourself. And I'm going, wow. I think he was supposed to be a pastor. What gospel is he preaching? You know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that God will help those who help themselves? That verse isn't in the Bible. You can't find it. But yet that's a verse that's commonly made up by men, and they actually think that it's somewhere there. I want to tell you that two men who knew they couldn't do it by themselves were Moses and Joshua. I want you to go back in Moses' history, and I'm just going to dust off the cobwebs a little bit. Where was Moses raised as a little boy? In the palace of Pharaoh. Where was Moses educated as a young man? In the palace of Pharaoh. What was Moses being trained to become? The great politician and leader of Egypt, of this world, in the house of Pharaoh. When God called Moses, the first thing Moses did is he tried to do it in his own strength, remember? God told him, I'm calling you to lead the nation of Israel. He goes out and he sees the servant of Pharaoh beating on an Israeli. And so he goes over and he kills the servant of Pharaoh. And he figures, this is going to make the people want to follow me. Because I am strong enough to stand against the army of Pharaoh. And the next day he comes out and he finds two Israelis fighting amongst each other, two brothers fighting. And so he comes over and says, what are you doing? And they said, what, are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian? And Moses ran away in fear. When God called Moses and told him, you have to go and speak to Pharaoh, if anybody in the camp of the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob should have been able to speak to Pharaoh, it would be Moses. Why? Because he grew up there. He grew up with this guy that's sitting on the throne. In all likelihood, his stepmother, the one that raised him in the house of Pharaoh, was probably the sister of this guy who's the Pharaoh now, or a relative anyway. But what did Moses say? I can't speak. I don't know what to say. I can't speak. I stutter when I speak. People think and condemn Moses for doing that, but what Moses was acknowledging is he felt he had no power to go in there, and how was he going to ever deliver these people in his strength? This guy who had killed an Egyptian soldier. How's he going to go in there and speak to Pharaoh? And God began to show Moses, I will speak for you. I'll give you Aaron. He'll be your spokesperson, your brother, because he's a little better speaker, but I'm going to give you the rod of God. And he had this rod, and it was the rod of Moses, but it became the rod of God. Remember, it was referred to as the rod of God where they were fighting the Amalekites, and it says that Moses held up the rod of God, and when the rod of God went down because Moses couldn't hold it up, the Jewish people began to lose, but when he held it up, and the rod of God, it was a symbol. It had no magical, mystical meaning, this rod, but what it was a something that would show Moses, I am with you, and my power resides over you, and my power shall flow through you, and it's not you that are doing this, but it is me using you to accomplish my will, and you can go in my power. That's what people need to learn today. They need to learn, it's not my power. It's not if we can get more people than they've got. But do I go in the power of God? And as Moses is facing death, the one thing he wants to pass on to not only all of Israel, but on to Joshua, is that message. And he uses the terms, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For what? For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, I want you to look at this as a Christian. You realize we've got blessings that they only hope to see one day. They were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They never saw Jesus come in their lifetime. Moses never even saw the promised land come in his lifetime. Yet they believed, Moses and Joshua believed that with all their heart. That God was true to His word, that God's power would overcome, and God would give them His promises, as He promised to them. Do you as a Christian believe that? Do you believe the rapture's coming? I don't know what it's going to be like. Never experienced it. But it's coming. Do I really believe that it's going to be something that I can't even imagine how wonderful it's going to be with the Lord? You see, what we do is we take off our eyes off the promises of God, we take our eyes off the power of God, and we place them on the world, and then we want to fight like the world, just like Moses did with that soldier. And we as Christians need to listen to the words of Moses. Do not be afraid. But be strong and of good courage. Lest you think that that's just an Old Testament account and it's for Israel, you know something? Go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church. Just turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 6. And guess what? Paul is facing something that's not much different than Joshua faced. He's been commissioned by the Lord to take the gospel to the Gentiles of the whole world. And he's facing a strong enemy. We're going to be looking at that this afternoon. Finally, my brethren, In verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Does that sound about like what Moses said? Same thing. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Didn't Moses say to stand? Didn't he say to be of good courage? You know, a coward flees and runs, but a courageous man stands and faces his adversary. Why? Because he knows he has nothing to fear. And then Paul goes on, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Does that tell you what's going on in our country and in the world right now today? Who are we fighting against? The billionaire club? This committee that has determined that they want to rule the world? Oh, that's an enemy, but it's not the real enemy. This is the real enemy. And this enemy, we could never defeat. Just like none of us has the wherewithal, nor the power, nor the might to come against any of the people of this world. But do you know something? God is so powerful, no man can stand in His presence. And God will deliver His people. And God will be true to His word. And God will fulfill His promises. And you and I need to quit looking at the world the way the world looks at itself. And we need to look at it through the Scriptures and see what we're to do. I encourage you to come to see this movie on Wednesday night, because at the end of the movie, you see the power of God. You see how one man and one woman could stand against the Nazis and could stand against the communists and could change lives while they were doing it. Is because God's power and God's love is greater than Satan's wickedness and hatred. And Satan cannot come against the Lord when the Lord stands with His people. May you learn from Moses and Joshua. I didn't get into it, we're out of time, but I encourage you to go and look at the end of the book of Joshua. You see that Joshua ended his life the same way Moses ended his. Standing before the people, giving them a challenge and a charge, knowing there were some there that believed and some that were there that didn't believe, and challenging them all to make the right choice. And the words that Joshua spoke about himself and his family, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods of the Amorites, whether it be the gods on the other side of the river, whether it be the gods of the Canaanites, or whether it be the true and the living God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choices, challenges, hearing, responding. Each one of you here today is challenged with a choice. You can believe these words? You can believe the lives of these men? We're going to listen to the psalm that Psalm 90 that we read at the beginning of the service, where it says, number your days. Are you numbering your days? Are you seeking to walk in the power of God? Or in the wickedness of this world? The choice is yours. And the challenge is laid before you. Be strong and of a good courage. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to be strong and of a good courage. Help us to realize that we are to walk in your strength, not our own. And help us to stand with you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to hymn number 578.